Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening, and thank you so much for spending some of your time with us. Wherever you are, whenever you are, you could be anywhere in the world, which is so cool. My guest tonight is Lisa Campion, who's been with us so many times, was my co-host for a while, has her own show on Empower Radio now. And we're going to talk about what it's like to be a psychic on vacation on a cruise ship, which is, as we were just saying, it was a very trippy trip. So we will check in with Lisa in a couple of minutes, right after tonight's metaphysical musing. And I wasn't sure, as is often the case, I wasn't sure what I was going to talk about. And I was watching TV while I had my dinner and was watching a documentary about JFK, about John F. Kennedy. And there are so many things to say about that presidency and who he was and the amazing things that went on during that time. But part of what was going on was the beginning of the Cold War. And the Cold War, there are many people that don't have any idea what that is. If you didn't live through it, you really can't fathom that we were in danger constantly from something we couldn't see that could wipe out everything on the planet. The way it was set up was what they called assured nuclear destruction. We had our nuclear weapons in the air, on submarines, in missile silos all over the place, aimed at the Russians. And they had their missiles aimed at us. And everyone was watching carefully. And if anybody thought that the enemy had fired a missile, everybody fired back. And all of a sudden, it would be literally the end of the world. There would be so many nuclear missiles that everything on the planet would get wiped out. And, you know, to keep us from going crazy, they had kids doing things like jumping under their desks for drills and stuff. It was total stupidity. But when Kennedy became president, they got satellite photo. Well, it wasn't satellites then. It was spy planes. Flew over Cuba, and they found that the Russians were building nuclear weapons launch sites on Cuba. They realized later that they were actually fully functional. It didn't look like it, but they were. And, you know, what do you do about that? And all the military people were saying, we have to take a strong stand. We have to go and invade and bomb and do all the rest of it. Even Eisenhower, who had been president and was the general that helped end World War II, said, you know, you've got to do something strong. And Kennedy said, if we do that, we're going to start World War III. There's got to be a way not to start World War III. And he basically figured out a way to allow the Russians to save face. You pull your missiles out of Cuba, we'll pull our missiles out of Turkey. It'll look like you were the strong people, and you won't look have egg on your face, and nobody will have to die. No military action was taken. They talked their way out of it. We have a president now who has been recorded as saying, what's the point to having nuclear weapons if I can't use them? There are so many things that are extraordinarily frightening about his lack of knowledge. That's the one that scared me the most. We are not in the Cold War. It is not exactly the same situation, but it's not very different. And somehow he's in cahoots with our longtime enemy. I don't know what's going on this planet anymore. It's getting really strange. But it's really helpful when people learn history and realize what's at stake. So that's tonight's metaphysical musing. Sorry, it wasn't more uplifting. But I know somebody who will be uplifting. Lisa,
Hey, David.
Hey, so good to have you on the show. It's been a while.
Thanks for having me back.
My pleasure. You've been busy with all kinds of things, including your show. What time's your show? What's it called?
My show is called The Miracle of Healing, and it airs Tuesdays at 2.
Yeah. So check that out, because it's a wonderful show.
Yeah, I have some pretty cool guests. We talk about healing and you know, all the different ways we can do that. That's good. Come on by.
And you did have me on the show, and that was great fun.
Yeah.
So you just went on a wonderful vacation. I'm so envious. Where did you go?
Well, I went with my daughter. So I always promised her I would take her sort of on this European grand tour when she graduated from high school. So, and I let her choose, you know, where she wanted to go, which was fun because she chose places that I might not have picked. And so I had some new experiences, but she wanted to start in Amsterdam. So we spent 5 days in Amsterdam. And then we did a 12-day cruise around the British Islands. So we went to Bruges and then Edinburgh and up the top of Scotland, Glasgow, Ireland, and the Channel Islands.
Very cool.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Very cool and very old places. But so there's two kinds of things which we've talked a little bit about that are really fascinating about being a psychic and an empath and super sensitive and taking that kind of trip. So why don't you tell people rather than I tell the story, but
well, there's a couple of things that happened to me. One of them was having some kind of ghostly encounters and coming across some pretty creepy haunted places. And the other thing that happened was my empathy or ability to read people got very triggered in a funny way when I was like stuck on a cruise ship with 2,000 people for days at a time in a small space.
Right.
So I was kind of juggling all of those things and really noticing that as I relax and go into vacation mode, my guard slips down a little bit. I felt like I was much more susceptible to those psychic experiences. And I was kind of like rolling my eyes and going, oh, I really just want to, like, if I need a vacation, am I just going to have to go to like really like a deserted island, you know, so I can actually relax?
Well, you know, I have a colleague and friend in Australia who is at this point so sensitive that she spends a good portion of the year in the outback. So that she's not around people, but also so she's not around Wi-Fi and electronics and all kinds of other stuff, because it all makes her all jangled and crazy.
Yep.
I can kind of relate. Yeah. So if she spends 3 months at a time away from everything, she can come back and actually do stuff. And then at some point, it's like, nope, got to get out of here.
Yeah, I've never been that sensitive, really. I mean, I'm pretty robust. Like, I can be in the world, but... and I like to be in the world and I love to travel. I've spent a lot of time traveling my whole life, and have lived actually overseas quite a bit myself too. So, but this is like, it's just a tricky thing to kind of balance my love of travel and then what happens when I really start to relax and let my guard down.
Right. So you got some good stories?
I do. So, Amsterdam was a very cool city. We had this, and I'd never been there before. It's beautiful. On lively city. We had some interesting experiences in the red light district, which is a whole different story for a whole different show. Mm. But what really I thought was odd was we stayed in this, I got an Airbnb. We stayed in an apartment, like a studio apartment, mm-hmm. right in the downtown area. And it was it's called a garden apartment. So it had a garden. It was on the ground floor of a very old house. So the house was, I don't know, 1750 or late 1700s. Mm-hmm. And it felt pretty clean when I went in there. But the last night we were going to be there, I had this, woke up in the middle of the night because I felt these like little cold hands around my throat. And I felt like I was being strangled. And it was a very physical sensation.
Wow.
And I woke up I was like sweaty and like upset, and I woke up and there was this really crazy looking little girl. Like she was about 10 years old, who was had her hands around my throat, and I was like, dude, you got to stop doing that, you know? And she sat on the edge of the bed and told me this whole story about herself, which was that she had lived in the 1800s and she was a person that was basically like a psychopath or a bad seed kind of child, mm-hmm. who, even though she was probably only about 10 years old, had already committed a few murders. Like she murdered people and kind of liked it, you know, and her family, figured out what was going on. She's like killed one of the servants that they had. She killed like another neighbor's child. It was pretty bad. And when her family found out about it, her father killed her to prevent her from
mm-hmm.
Doing it any more of that. And then they sort of covered it up and said she died of a childhood illness.
Right.
You know? And that father sort of had to live with that guilt, and it was sort of really broke him down and things like that. And that her spirit never left, and she didn't actually belong to the building that I was in, but over the time that she was like a couple blocks away in the same general area of the city where I was. And over time, she just had gotten drawn to me because she's like, well, you know, I knew you would know that I was there, so I came to visit.
Right.
And it was like a creepy, like, she was like, mommy. And I was like, oh, no. You know?
Right.
That was bad. That was one of the creepiest things that's ever happened to me, actually, I think.
Yeah, well, someone trying to kill you is pretty creepy.
Yeah, and the evilness of her. Like, I could really feel, and it was beyond actually, like, just no feeling and over the edge into, like, actually a really, really dark soul.
Mm-hmm.
In sort of this little girl package, and I it was pretty shattering.
Was there any opportunity to try and help her cross over, or
there was no having that? I was like, you know, do you wanna? And she was like, oh no. You know, she's like, don't even waste your time. And I knew she meant it, so. And then she was pretty threatening. She was like, it's probably good that you're moving along, you know? It's probably good that you're leaving the city. And I was like, shit, that's scary. Like, what are you going to do? You know? So yeah.
You don't have a cadre of dragons with you.
No, I knew that it was going to be a lot to tangle with her. You know what I mean? And I was just like, I'm on vacation. You know, I don't really want to, like, and I wasn't actually confident I could do it, truth be told.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well,
it was chilling. I actually found
two different issues. One is, you know, fighting with an evil soul that has that much awareness, if she's going to stay there. And the other is whether or not you could get her to cross over. But, yeah, it helps to be from Brooklyn.
I was like, I'm going to leave that to my friend David, because he's really good at that.
Thanks, I think. Yeah. We can talk after the show.
Sure. If you feel like you're going to look community service for the city of Amsterdam, you'll know what to do.
All right. So you started in Amsterdam.
Yep. Then we went to Bruges, which I thought was a beautiful city. It's a very old medieval city, sort of had it's in Brussels, had its heyday like in the 1400s, where it was actually mm-hmm. the most important city in Europe. And it was a textile city. So the best cloth was manufactured and sold there. So Bruges and neighboring Ghent, which are in Flanders. And I learned that Flanders is the side of Belgium that speaks Dutch, rather than is, you know, the other side of Belgium, which is French speaking. So Flemish or Flanders, it's, you know,
right.
And it really was a city that sort of languished and didn't have much going on, and therefore was spared reconstruction. It was never bombed in any war. It's a very complete medieval city that hasn't changed a lot.
Wow.
Since the 1400s. And it's just beautiful. It's everything you want a walled medieval city to be like, you know. It's just lovely. And I actually thought it had a very nice vibe, considering that it was so old. And then I, as we were touring around, found out that a lot of it was because the one of the ladies, prominent ladies there, established kind of cures for poverty. There were hospitals and helping centers for people that needed help, and, you know, happy orphanages. Like, it was a people where the people were always well taken care of. And so it had quite a nice feeling to it. Mm-hmm. But then we went to Scotland, and Scotland was Edinburgh in particular, which I loved. I just fell in love with it. It's a beautiful, graceful, magical, funky, cool. It was such an interesting city, but so haunted.
I actually have relatives and friends in Edinburgh.
Edinburgh? Yeah. Well, they have ghost tours. Like, there's quite a few ghost tours that you can take. And, mm-hmm. You know, there's quite a famous bar that actually is called the Banshee, where glasses get thrown around and things fly off. It's quite famous. And you can go in there. And there was this one street, and we were walking down or walking near the old part of the city. And there's one place we were walking, and I just got such a heavy feeling. I was really almost actually sick. Like, I think I'm like, am I going to be sick in the street? Like, I might throw up. Like, it was a really ill feeling. And I was like, wow, there must have been a lot of sick people here. I kind of had that thought. Right. It was very oppressive and dark. And then we did these hop on, hop off bus tours where mm-hmm. you get on the bus and they give a little tour. And we were driving down that same street, and the tour person said that this was like a street where a lot, when some plague came through the city, they put everybody that had the plague on that street. And that they were like, well, we think like 11,000 people died there over the course of whatever, however many years. And it was super bad poverty, like the poverty conditions in the and the disease in this one very contained area. And I was like, oh, well,
no wonder.
Yeah, no wonder.
And of course, you just want to hang out with your kid and walk down the street and look at the pretty
I'm
houses.
I'm just looking for some haggis and some scotch.
Did you find it?
I found a lot of scotch and haggis. I just couldn't.
I didn't think so.
Nope. And we did have quite an interesting experience too in this castle in the Highlands, which was so cool. It was called Cowder Castle. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if you wanted to imagine the most quintessential Scottish castle, this would be it. And it what was interesting about it is that it was sort of in continuous occupation by the same family since the 1100s. You know, and it's a castle somebody lives in, and they just sort of vacate for the summer and open it up to the public, I think, to kind of help out with the cost of running it, because it's enormous and it has enormous grounds. And but it was really like being in somebody's home, right? So you can tell it's like, this is like, you know, like museum quality, whatever, but it's just part of their furniture. It's just like their thing, their desk, their table, you know?
Right.
And so we're in this line kind of going through the rooms that you can go in. And we went to this one room, and I got that weird feeling I always get when there's spirits around and ghosts, this, you know, cold on the top of my head and cold all down the left side of my body. And I get a little dizzy. And my daughter looked at me, and she was like, oh, mom, she's like, do you feel it too? So there was a guide there. And I said, oh, is this castle haunted? And he goes, as a matter of fact, yes. And this is the room of, you know, Lady Charlotte. And she's often seen sitting at that desk right over there. This is her bedroom, you know, and that's her picture. And I was like, oh, yeah, like... Oh, yeah. And then the old laird of the castle, who only died in the 90s, was still sitting in his office. He's quite cross, really, that all these damn tourists were, you know, traipsing through his house.
Right.
You know, and then the dungeons. The dungeons are really dicey. Dungeons are like, you know, they're not really fun for psychic people.
Right. Right. I always found the paranormal TV shows where they would intentionally go to dungeons or the basements of abandoned psych hospitals where the worst of the worst were caged or whatever it happened to be. And they'd go down there and what do they call it when they yell at the provocation? Yeah.
Yeah.
And they do provocation. I'm like, who do you think is going to show up?
Nobody good.
The reason that they were kept down here was they were violent people.
Yeah.
No, don't do that. That's dumb.
Same, yeah. Stirling Castle was bad too. Stirling Castle. It wasn't a palace. It was like a military garrison, you know, and they had
the same thing there. If it's a military garrison, the ghosts are still on duty.
Yeah. They had a serious ass dungeon. It was like for real, you know, and lots of people died there. They have something there they call the oubliette, which is French to a place to forget about something, to be forgotten. And so the oubliette is where they would throw you when they wanted to forget about you, you know, and they were like excavated like a lot of bones up right out of that place. That place was not fun. That was,
when people do provocation at a battleground or an old fort or that kind of thing, I'm like, these are on duty soldiers. You don't have the password.
Right. Or they're the people that died there, the prisoners that died in the dungeon. That's
right.
You know, and a lot of like, I saw a lot of really shadowy spirits that seem like they're just lurking around down there because a lot of bad stuff happened there for a long time.
Really long time.
And it just attracts these non-human negative spirits. They were the ones that creeped me out.
Right. Right. The dark spirits that were scavengers and parasites on the energy.
That's right. Yuck.
And of course, you can't tell the other people that are with you because you'll creep them out.
Right, I know. In this Cowder Castle, I was really trying not to twitch or, you know, like act crazy because, and my daughter was like, I was like mildly twitching, like a tiny twitch. And my daughter was like, Mom, what are you doing? Like, just can't you behave like a normal person? I can take you anywhere. I know it's haunted, but please.
Well, speaking of normal people, let's tell people how they can find you online. What's your web address?
My web address is lisacambian.com. Love it if you'd stop by. Come and check it out. I got some online classes that are I have rolling all the time. Video classes and e-courses for empathy, protection, psychic self-defense, opening your psychic. Because my specialty is really in training psychics, healers, and empaths how to maximize their gifts so they can fully step into the world and live their life purpose. Because I think the world needs all the healers it can get.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
As an old friend of mine used to say. So I know you just started the psychic protection class, and that's very, very exciting.
Yeah, that's a really fun class. It's a bit more of an advanced. I have a basic one on my website all the time, but this is more advanced for people that really want the nitty gritty, that need sort of the hardcore information where I don't pull any punches. That's the one that's running now. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yep.
So for anybody who is curious, it's all there at lisacampion.com and you do great stuff. I'm constantly sending my clients who need background information and supportive classes, that kind of stuff, and I send them to you.
Thank you. And I send all the ones that have like weird demons that I don't want to deal with to you.
all the cleanup stuff. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I appreciate it. Referrals are great.
You're really good at it.
Oh, so thank you.
God bless you.
Well, so we have to go to break. We will be back shortly unless we get taller. My guest tonight is Lisa Campion, and this is David Franklin Farkas on the Farkas Files for Empower Radio. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back and we'll have more fun.
Meditation Channel. Non-stop meditation music 24 hours a day in the new Empower Radio app. Music to empower your meditation, help you relax, sleep, or provide a calm background while you work. The Empower Meditation Channel is interruption free. Listen now with the Empower Radio app, free in the App Store, or listen online at empower.fm. Soothe your soul, calm your mind. The Empower Meditation Channel.
This is the news. This morning, we are saluting the 2.2 million women who have joined in the war effort. They now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever.
The prestigious Harvard Medical School is breaking ground today, opening its doors to new female applicants.
Today, little girls all over the world look to the sky, where the first woman is now in space.
Military stereotypes are challenged today with the trailblazing promotion of a U.S. female officer to four-star general. It was just announced that the vast majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, in math, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, in biology, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
The only thing I didn't learn...
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes twice a day. They have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Adding light to the world, one heart at a time. This is Empower Radio.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with my guest and co-host, Lisa Campion, who has her own show now. What is it?
It's called The Miracle of Healing.
On Tuesdays at 2 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
So go check that out, too. So when last seen, our heroine was in a castle in Scotland.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I was. I was in a lot of castles in Scotland, actually. And after a while, we went to Ireland, which is much less haunted, by the way, somehow.
Really?
Yeah. It was much more peaceful and happy. I didn't see too much stuff there. But we get to this little town in Ireland, and it's like, time to go to another castle. And my daughter's like, no more castles. I can't take any more castles. I don't think she'll go in another castle in her whole life. I never got tired of them, but it was the one at Stirling Castle was also interesting. That was the one that Mary, Queen of Scots, lived in. It's quite famous and was the center point of a lot of battles between the English and the Scots, and the English like traded back and forth that castle so many times. And, you know, there's creepy, they're, we're on this tour and they're like, oh, here's this place where when we, you know, renovated the castle in the 1980s, we took down a wall and found the bodies of the two princes. And they were like these 11 and 12 year old, you know, kids that had been in the way, somebody's way of the succession, and right. basically just murdered and bricked up in behind a wall.
Life was so simple then.
I guess so. But I think it was oddly close Crazy. To where the cafe was. And I'm like, we're just gonna go have tea and scones next, like 10 feet from the bodies of the princes. Like, where? I mean, the bodies weren't still there, but it was an odd juxtaposition of, like, you couldn't have put the cafe somewhere else.
It was probably a drawing point, actually.
Creepy.
Creepy. So you went through Ireland without very many castles. And
there were still a lot of castles, but we didn't go into too many of them. And eventually you just roll your eyes and you're like, oh my God, another castle. And we went to the Channel Islands, Guernsey Island, which I thought was totally beautiful. I didn't expect anything of it, and it turned out to be one of my favorite stops that we did. I think the other point is sort of how interesting cruising is, right? When you're really,
that was the next thing I was going to ask, is the stuff that happened on the ship.
Yeah. And most of the stuff that happened on the ship is what happens to me when I'm in close proximity to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's my first cruise. Like, I didn't really know whether I would like it. And I did quite like some parts of it, and other parts of it were maybe not so much for me. But it's a lot on the days at sea. There's a lot of people. It's like basically a floating hotel, you know?
Right.
And when you're on the cruise ship, there's like the line to get off the cruise ship, and then the line to get on the tram or the bus, and you know, it's a lot of standing in a queue, because in England you stand in a queue, not in a line.
That's right.
So it's a lot of standing in a queue. And I just, being that physically close to people, I have to really keep my guard up, or I just can't help it. I just start feeling things, seeing things, hearing things, you know. Hearing the thoughts of the person standing in front of me, which is always interesting, horrifying, interesting. You know, one day at breakfast, and I'm just minding my own business, trying to drink my coffee, you know, but I was like idly staring at this woman at the next table. She was like in my line of eyesight. And I start to get the psychic download, as if I was working on her in my office,
right?
You know? So I'm like, oh, well, she's really sick. She's got all this. Oh, look at her liver. Oh my God. Like, what, is that a tumor? You know? And then I'm like, oh, I don't. Yeah. And then I can sort of see like all this negative energy and these holes in her energy field. I'm like, what has she been doing with herself? And then there's this like nasty little shadow critter sitting on her shoulder. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's the one I normally just see with people that have a drinking problem. Well, that would explain the liver. You know, and then she's got that like depressive brown, like depression brown in mm-hmm. her energy field. I'm like, oh, I wonder if she probably drinks because she's so depressed, you know. And then if I could keep going, like then if I just kept staring at her, then I'd get past lives, or I'd get pieces of her future. And then her husband sat down and their whole like karmic relationship played out in front of me and their soul contract. And I'm like, whoa. Just hold up, like coffee croissant. Yeah. Like, that's really all I want right now. And it's just this funny catch-22 is that as I relax and put my guard, like it made me realize how much effort it takes for me to keep my shields on full, my guard fully right. up. And when I go on vacation, I don't want to do that. Like, I want to drop that guard. And this is maybe why cruising isn't the best idea.
Well, you know, there's the flip side of that is people who have everything that's going on with them turned up loud.
Yeah.
You know, similar to some kid driving their car down the street with the radio blaring or, you know, everybody's got to look.
I call those people the broadcasters.
Right, right.
Because they the other
obvious example of it is a woman who is fertile that day and feeling really feisty.
Mm-hmm.
And she walks by and men, women, children, everybody looks at her and goes, what?
Right.
Because she's just broadcasting so loud.
Yeah.
And there are some people that don't know how to turn it down. So if you happen to have one of those people with somebody who's really sensitive, it's very difficult for the person who's sensitive.
Yeah, and I noticed, too, the broadcasters tend to be people that are relatively unconscious about their own emotions.
Sure.
So, like, people who are highly conscious and highly emotionally aware tend to be cleaning up their own emotions, you know, or being mindful, caretaking their own boundaries, handling things on their own. And the ones that broadcast the most loudly are not doing that. They're not owning their emotional self. They're kind of flinging it out into the world.
My sense of them is that they're looking for attention, that they're really, you know, all they want is to feel better by getting attention from people, because otherwise they feel like they're going to disappear or the pain's going to be too great. So they make psychic noise so that people will pay attention to them and they can feel better.
Yeah. Yeah, that might be so. You know, and everybody has stories, you know, like it, and it was really interesting to me that I was sort of drawn more to the staff and the people that worked mm-hmm. on the cruise ship yep. and, you know, talking to them and just making friends with them and finding out what it was like, you know. And my daughter's like, Mom, do you have to talk to everybody? You know, like, but I don't know. Just what's it like working on the cruise ship? Do you like your job? And, you know, I don't know. That's just how kind of I roll. So that was a whole different other side of, it's like the cruise ship is divided into two. There's the people that are on the cruise ship and then the cast, you know, the supporting crew of so many people that just make the cruise ship run to support the people that are there. And it was really interesting for me to watch sort of the play between those two groups of people and most
of those people who make it work are invisible.
Yeah.
And the ship is designed in such a way that they come and go out of the public spaces without you ever noticing where they went.
Just like Disney World. It's like Disney World.
Right. Right.
Like, you know, what's going on in the back is like intense to, and that's, it takes so much scurrying around and effort right. to create sort of flawless right. experience.
In the ships, it's below decks and the center core of each deck
yep.
has a space that you can't see.
Right.
And, you know, at the bottom of it, it's all the machinery and that kind of stuff. And then there's the cruise quarters and that kind of stuff. But there's, you know, it's a skyscraper and the whole middle of the skyscraper is utility space.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting. And you really, like, the cabins are small and, you know, on the days when the ship was sailing, you couldn't really go anywhere in the cruise ship where there weren't a lot of other people.
Right. Well, yeah. I found that the trick was to be on the side that didn't have sun.
Well, honey, we were in Scotland.
Well, that's true, too.
None of it had sun. And there was no sun to be had.
Right. You know, you go out on the deck that's the windiest and has the least sun, and there's nobody around. You're going to have total privacy.
Yeah, if you bring your willies.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that was sort of an interesting, you know, contemplation for me. Like, how do I vacation? How do I want a vacation? How do I kind of blend the need, desire that I have to be able to let my guard down with the need and desire I have for travel? And is there anywhere in the world I could go?
Well, you know, it's kind of the reason that people who do spiritual work tend towards being hermits, you know, living in a very private way in some kind of isolation or away from noise and people and all that, because of the sensitivity and not wanting to have to deal with it. Just not worth it. And that, you know, that's pretty much, it's not that I'm not gregarious when I'm out and about, but a lot of my time is just spent here in my office looking out at the pretty view out the window. And that's a good thing for me, because if I was with a lot of people all day, it would really, I would be rattled by it and I'd have to do a lot of cleanup.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a long trip too. It was 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So there was really like not a lot of time for me to kind of decompress. I actually had to decompress for my vacation because it was a lot of stimulation. I mean, super fun. I'm not certainly not complaining. It was just oodles of fun every single minute. But it was definitely an energy whammy.
Right. Right. And how old is your daughter?
She's 18.
18. So
yeah.
You know,
and she's sort of funny. She's sort of sensitive like me too. I mean, doesn't have this sort of extreme psychic experiences, but that I do. But she's sensitive. She's sensitive to ghosts. You know,
mm-hmm.
She would feel them. Like, you know, and she's very shy, so introverted in a way. So I think it was, you know, she'd just be like, "Oh my God, I'm so tired of being around people."
You're very much alike.
Yeah. And then we would go back to the cabin and just, you know, try to, you know, watch TV or find something sort of quiet, like all the empaths hiding in their cabins.
Right. Know? Right. Well, congratulations on being able to do a trip with your kid.
It was so fun.
Which is just
we booked another cruise. So while you're there, while you're on the cruise ship, you get like, we joined the club, you know, and you get then huge discounts on the next cruise if you book while you're on that cruise, right?
And I thought only senior citizens did that, you know, because it's cheaper. It's cheaper than nursing homes.
It is. You know, we met some people there. Like, I met this guy who's been on 70 cruises, and he's like in the platinum, you know, club and or whatever they call it. And there was another lady there, a couple of them, like a little packet of ladies that. They just basically, they stay on the ship. So they stay on the ship and they go on the next cruise. And they told us that it was cheaper to do that than it was to like live in a, you know, apartment establishment.
And there's a, then, you know, the food is handled and there's lots of people around to help you. And there's a doctor on staff. And
right. And because they do it all the time and they're in that like super high level club.
Right.
They get such incredibly deep discounts on everything.
Right.
That they can cruise like at the very top, like, you know, first class, everything, and it barely costs them any money because they're cruising. They just earn so many points doing it.
I may have to find out about this.
No, they just never get off the boat. They just go where the boat goes, or they will switch boats onto a different boat and do a different cruise. It's like a lifestyle for some people.
Right.
But we did join the club and we did sign up we're doing another cruise next May, 9 days to the Greek islands. So we're going to start in Rome and then go to Turkey, and we're going to Croatia, Dubrovnik, and then a bunch of the Greek islands.
Very cool. I've heard wonderful things about Croatia.
Yeah.
An online friend of mine is working her way through Europe and just got to Croatia and has all kinds of wonderful things to say about the place, the food, the people.
I think it's very unspoiled. I think it's like Europe used to be, you know, without all the tourists.
Right.
We didn't get tired of tourists. So, you know, when we went to Ireland, we actually got off the boat for a night because we were visiting a friend of mine who lives there. And we were just like, no crowds, no tours, no tourist stops, no hop on, hop off bus. And we lived like an actual person in Ireland for 48 hours, which was really kind of a nice break.
Right. Right. Lovely. So what's your takeaway for empathic and psychic people going on vacations and cruises?
I think that it's good to probably plan some downtime. So we were a couple of days in Edinburgh, and after all the haunting, we decided that the best thing we could do is the botanical garden. And spending a half a day, which is lovely. I love botanical gardens, but that one is particularly lovely. And they have the glass houses full of palm trees, greenhouses, you know. And I found that to be a nice balance to the super haunted day we'd had before that. You know, because botanical gardens just aren't that haunted.
Well, you may get nature spirits or whatever, but yeah, they're not typically haunted.
Right. So that was kind of a good balance. Like we do a day where things were kind of heavy, and then we'd hole up in a garden or a museum. Museums were also a place where we could, it was quiet. People don't bother you. It's very restoring. You know, we kind of right. alternated these kinds of activities. And sometimes we would just give up and sit in a cafe and, you know, my daughter's like, as long as it's got Wi-Fi, she could find Wi-Fi, you know, any place in the world, I'm convinced. So I think kind of planning some soft spots to land so that mm-hmm. when you're overwhelmed, when you hit sort of empathic overload, you have built into your trip some quiet space. Finding the quiet spaces on the cruise ship where people don't go.
Right.
You know.
far away from the casino.
Far away from the casino. Like, yeah. I think there are some places that are quieter so that you can get away. I think making friends with the staff is really important because they will bend over backwards to help you mm-hmm. and really seem genuinely pleased to assist in any way.
Well, and they're always, you know? They're always pleased when people treat them like human beings. And
yeah, that's right. Yeah. So if you treat them like a human being and you connect with them and you ask them for what you need, they're really delighted to help. So, you know, and I think it's probably the nature of where you go, and you might have a better time picking some place that's a little more like a Caribbean cruise that's more relaxed, although those cruises are the ones that people party.
Yes, you know, those get crazy.
Drinking and the one we were on that wasn't happening so much. It was more people that were interested in culture, right? The Caribbean cruises tend to be younger and more drinky. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, and if a cruise isn't your cup of tea, then, you know, maybe just picking like a nature vacation or an eco travel. There's so much to see in the world, and finding a place that, because just earlier in the year, I went to Costa Rica and I was there for a week and had a completely different experience, which because I was in the rainforest and there was nothing.
Right.
To be, you know, except nature, beautiful, you know? And that was a completely restoring, you know, I felt like I'd been on a vision quest. I felt like I came back totally full, totally mm-hmm. like.
I have friends that are avid birders, and they go all over the world. They went to the Galapagos and all kinds of places, and it's that kind of experience. They're just looking at birds and looking at mm-hmm. plants and hanging out and enjoying the sun and the breeze, and totally different thing from being on a cruise ship and going to a city.
Right. Those two things are very difficult for sensitive people. Mm-hmm. Cities are difficult. And those crowded places are difficult. So I think if you're sensitive too, you might pick like a resort over a cruise ship because you can come and go as you please. You can, you know, set your own pace. You know, the cruise ship has definitely a structure.
Right.
And that you have to just go along with the flow of the structure. You just can't do anything about it, you know? And I think some people find that quite relaxing to have a structure.
Right.
And other people would rather have no structure and be able to just, you know, decide that day what they want to do. But I definitely wouldn't want anyone who is sensitive or empathic to not travel, or to keep, you know, I notice a lot of times sensitives, and the more empathic you are, I call it the couch syndrome. Like the more you get stuck on the couch and you don't want to, you know, leave your house.
Right.
And I think that it's fine if that's your choice, but I don't like to see empaths sort of really debilitated by that against their will, against their choice. Because I think if you learn how to really manage your sensitivity, you can find a way to engage in the world in a way that works for you.
Indeed. But that is a problem for lots of people, is isolating yourself, because it's so much easier than dealing with people.
Yeah. It's crazy. The world's full of them.
Yeah. More and more. What's up with that? Anyway, this has been so much fun. It's always so much fun. Tell people again where they can find you.
LisaCampion.com. Come on by. I have a lot of training material on my website, e-courses, video courses that are there all the time. And, you know, I run specialized classes now and again, like my psychic self-defense class is running right now. And I really, really love to help train psychics, healers, and empaths. It's my thing.
Yeah, they won't let you use defense against the dark arts. Huh?
No, that's really in my own head. That's the name of that class. Like, for real, like that's what it says on the paper.
I knew that.
But I can't actually say that.
Yeah, I would think you'd get in a lot of trouble if you used that. too funny. Or I should be teaching that. I don't want to teach that. So, in case you forgot, my guest tonight is Lisa Campion. And I always have so much fun when we get together.
Yes, me too.
So, thank you so much for being on the show again.
Thank you.
The cruise sounded like absolutely amazing vacation, even though you had your moments. As you were telling the stories, I was thinking of how I would treat the ghosts very differently.
You'd be getting all up in their business.
Yeah, well, they're in mine, so there you go. So, again, thanks so much, Lisa.
Sure thing, honey, anytime.
Let's do this again soon.
Indeed, let's.
So, again, Lisa Campion. Go listen to her show on Empower Radio on Tuesdays and go to her website at lisacampion.com. And if you got curious about who is this guy David and what in the world does he do, you can go to househealing.com, and there's all kinds of technology to get in touch with me, including a scheduling link that lets you set up a 20-minute free phone conversation. And we can assess what's going on with the person, place, situation, business, whatever it happens to be. See how my work might be helpful to you. If you want more information about the show, it's hiding in plain view at thefarkasfiles.com. And the whole archive is there. We've been doing this for, God help us, 6 years or something. And in addition to being able to listen there, you can now get the Empower Radio app, which has all of the shows and the archives for all of the shows, and then you can listen from your device anywhere you happen to be, which is just one of the wonderful improvements in technology for this kind of thing. Empower Radio has programming 24/7. We now have the meditation music channel. Check it out. It's wonderful background for your life and wonderful uplifting messages. And it's exciting to be part of it and do this with you. And I'm so glad that you do this with me, because otherwise I would just be sitting here by myself talking into a microphone, which would be silly. And we don't want to be, well, yes, we do want to be silly, but you know what I mean. In any case. Thank you, one and all, for being with us wherever and whenever you are. This is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week.